Welcome to the Northfield Candidate Show, an in-depth conversation with the people whose names are on the local ballot in 2024. Today's guest is Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell. Here are your hosts, Rich Larson and Joe Moravchik. Good morning and welcome to KYMN Radio's election coverage for 2024. This is the first program in a weekly series leading up to Election Day that we are calling the KYMN Candidate Show. My name is Rich Larson.
And I'm Joe Moravchik. Tuesday, November 5th is Election Day in the United States. That is 131 days away. A primary will be held before that on August 13th, and that is only 48 days away. Early voting, allowing Minnesotans to either vote in person or by mail, began last Friday. And for the general election, early voting starts on September 20th. At stake this fall are elections for president, U.S. senators, U.S. and state representatives, city officers, such as mayor, judges, and school board members. This program will invite local candidates into the KYMN studios over the next several months to discuss their backgrounds, what drew them into politics, what their goals are, and what the challenges are that they see in our society.
Fittingly, our first guest is Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell. Mayor Pownell was first elected to the City Council in 2008 and was elected mayor in 2016. She is now running for a third term.
Welcome, Mayor Pownell, to the KYMN studios and the first broadcast of our 2024 election coverage.
Thank you.
You're running for a third term. You were the first two-term mayor of Northfield in 20 years.
Yes.
That always impressed me.
And could you even say the first two-term mayor that served 4 years?
Yeah. If you were to decide not to run today, you would be, I think, the longest running mayor that we've had in consecutive years, maybe in the 21st century. Well, definitely in the 21st century, but for maybe 50 years.
Yeah. I mean, mayor terms used to be 2 years, and they were 2-year terms in Dundas not that long ago, right? And I think you're just barely getting started. You're still just learning how to walk at 2 years. There's so much that you don't know. And so I think it's really wise that they give people at least 4 years, because you really start to make an impact more so the longer that you're in there, because city government is like cyclical. It's
right.
Cyclical. Like every time, every single year we come in here to talk about roads.
Right.
Because we've always got a road project to do.
Always.
And we always are starting budget season at a certain time, right? And so there is so much that you repeat year over year over year. And each time you go through that process, you learn a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You have better understanding of what you're doing.
I do a show monthly with Justice Gordon Moore of the State Supreme Court. And he talks about every time they add or subtract, anytime there's a new justice, it's an entirely new court. You have had to deal with how many entirely new councils throughout your term. I mean, you sort of have to learn how to work through all that, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. And it can change every 2 years, and you need to have some flexibility and some ability to work alongside people of very different opinions and perspectives. Different lived experiences, and value that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
People put people into office, and you really do function as a team.
Right.
And that's really important.
Yeah. Well, you've been mayor, like we said, for a very long time.
Yeah.
And people know that you're the mayor, but I'm not sure that people know a whole lot about you.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, your education, your background before politics? Just tell our listeners who you are and what drew you to politics.
Yeah. So I hail from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Never heard of Northfield until I must have checked that box on my ACT that said private liberal arts college or something, because I got all of the snail mail back then, right, from every private liberal arts college in Minnesota, and we have a lot of those.
Yes, we do.
So keen to visit St. Olaf, and the rest is history. I mean, I love St. Olaf. Beautiful campus, Carleton. Okay, as mayor, Carleton is is beautiful too. Both, we are so fortunate to have two top world-class colleges right here in our very small town. That's not normal. But I so went to St. Olaf, graduated with a degree in social work, played sports, very much so a part of my upbringing. I also grew up in a family-owned business, general contracting business, where you know, construction. You take care of stuff. And my first vehicle was our retired three-quarter ton truck with my dad's logo on the side and his phone number, right? And so you learn that was like my primary mode of transportation, right? And you learn that you don't represent just yourself when you're sitting in that truck. You're representing the family business, and that matters. I learned that we had to answer the family business phone. How you answered that phone mattered, right? So you couldn't just be slapstick humor or just give somebody a hard time. You know, it just mattered. So that was my upbringing. I've been here now for 35 years. I met my husband at Laura Baker School, where we were both working at the time, and we've raised five children here. My oldest is now 28 and my youngest is 19, just graduated, you know, and so they're off and going. I've been serving on the city council now for 16 years. The first 8 years of that was a heavy, steep learning curve. I started serving on our League of Minnesota Cities board and served eventually as the president of that organization, and consecutively served 7 years on the League of Minnesota Cities Insurance Trust board, which insures like over 1,000 different governmental entities in the state of Minnesota. Wow. So these are state level organizations. And so that was really my launching pad of understanding how those organizations operated and what excellence looked like. And that's how I went into my last 8 years as mayor for our city, and utilized everything that I learned there and brought it to bear here for our city, and I think it's working well.
We're all aware of our party system in the United States. Mm-hmm. Party politics will be on display nationally, including at the summer conventions, for the next 4.5 months leading up to the election. When running for city council or mayor, do you have a party affiliation? And if not, briefly explain any pros or cons to not having an affiliation.
Yeah, and I think that I've asked that and wondered that, because people are so prone to go there.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when I've been door knocking, people, they'll start asking me questions, trying to pinpoint me and stick me in a box. Mm. And then once they got you in that box, they're like, aha, I know who you are, I know how you're going to vote, and they'll either continue to engage in conversation with you or say, have a nice day. Yeah. You know, and so that's not beneficial to us as a community. Local government, in a lot of what we do, police, fire, streets, sewer, and water, that's nonpartisan. And so smaller towns are more nonpartisan. The more that you get into larger cities, they do run on party platforms, you know, and I think that is a strength for us at the local level, to keep an open mind, learn from whoever's beside you, rather than sticking people in a box and saying, this is how you're going to vote on this. And really, you can just stay out of those party platforms and do what's best for your community. And I think that's one of the strengths of being nonpartisan.
Hmm. Mayor Pownell is with us. Mayor, you have an important role as mayor of Northfield. What is your philosophy on leadership, and what values are most important to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I've learned now. I watched two mayors, right? Well, I watched one mayor from the audience when I was first attending council meetings and things just weren't functioning well. So I had an audience member perspective, and then I served alongside two other mayors, and now I've served for 8 years myself as mayor, and governance in Northfield is truly a team effort. It's that is the way it is written in our city charter. Everybody needs to be in alignment and working together to find common ground so that you can move things forward. It's a vote of four on the city council, and the mayor's vote is one vote. It's not, I want to say, it's not a dictator role. It's just not. People have an outsized viewpoint of what they think the mayor's role is, and others maybe have a too small a view of what it is. And so finding that right balance, I think, has been really important, and I've tried to do that. I'm really a firm believer in bringing people together to find common ground. I lead by example, and that means showing respect and honor to my colleagues, especially when we aren't aligned on policy. And yes, that does happen. Over the course of 16 years, yes, there's been plenty of opportunities, but you learn. You learn from your colleagues. And at the end of the day, once you vote, you just turn that page.
When you first ran for mayor, I think it's a fair characterization to say the council was a bit dysfunctional.
Yes.
And you ran on a platform of we're going to be cohesive, and we're going to be respectful, and we're going to bring everybody together.
Yep.
And you've accomplished that.
Yes.
How have you influenced the council to get to that point?
I really believe in leading by example. I mean, civility, I watched incivility, and that's why I first got involved, is because of all of the incivility, the fighting that was happening, and, you know, anybody can fall into that pattern, so I don't fault people. It's much more difficult than what people think. I'm a firm believer in leading by example, showing respect and honor to people when you don't agree with them, especially when you don't agree with them, bringing people together, honoring and respecting people, appreciating people, celebrating people, saying thank you, a very positive attitude. And I think when you set that tone as a mayor, that can help transform the culture, the dynamics of, you know, the atmosphere, even within the room. I mean, we're all sitting here. Neither one of you are rolling your eyes at me yet, right? But you could do that, right? You could scoff or whatever, and that will set a dynamic for our conversation that would not be helpful, so thank you for not doing that, you know? And I think that's one of the things that I've really tried to do. That's probably part of my social work background there. Also my team sport background, right? That you function better when you're actually cheering one another on than not, you know? And sometimes you're doing it from the sidelines. You're cheering on your colleagues when you're out on the field. If you're playing softball like I was, I mean, you're supporting one another. And you have a common vision, you know where you're going, you're staying on task, and you're getting it done. And I think that has been, civility has been a really strong part of that.
How do you campaign for a mayoral election? Take us through that. And how is campaigning now in the summer and fall of 24 different than when you first ran for mayor in 16?
Yeah, well, in 16, I'd never done it. Right, that people knew me as the 8 years serving as city council, but I had to prove to people why they should elect me, right, and how I would do things differently. Now, being in the role for 8 years now, I did what I said I would do, right? I stayed true to my word, and I didn't accomplish that by myself, actually. Right, you can certainly lead, but unless you've got people on board and they believe in also what you're trying to accomplish, it's not going to work. So you really have to have that ability to work alongside people and to be able to make things happen. And it's not just city council, it's your boards and commissions, it's city staff. You've all got to be working together to move things forward. And so I think that people have seen me now. Now they need to hear from me, okay, so why do you think, and why do you think you should still do this? And we now know how you vote, so we're not really happy about that, or we are happy about that. And now you still have to engage with people, to be present, lead still by example. And we have that opportunity to do that with the candidate forums and just being out there with folks. Mm-hmm. I think it's just really important.
Do you still door knock at this point in your career?
Yes. Yeah. Door knocking is my favorite. Can I just say that? So I've walked the whole city once, and I door knocked it, actually talking to people a second time. In 2020, though, with COVID, you know, that just didn't happen. So right. I'm really excited to have those one-on-one conversations with folks, because that's really where you get to hear what's important to you, what do we need to do different. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Stay home, Northfielders, because the mayor's coming to your door.
Nice. All right.
You're listening to election coverage of 2024 and the KYMN Candidates Show on AM 1080 and FM 95.1, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. I'm Rich Larson. My co-host is Joe Moravchik, and we are talking today with Mayor Rhonda Pownell about her bid for a third term as mayor of Northfield. Rhonda, what would you say are the biggest lessons that you've learned in 16 years of public service? And maybe playing off of that, what accomplishments as mayor are you most proud of?
Yeah.
And then in contrast to that, what sort of missteps have you made, and what have you learned from those as well?
Yeah. So I think my biggest lesson is that we're in a marathon. This is not a 100-yard dash. It's not a 200 dash. It's not even the mile. Oh, my gosh. It's a marathon. Yeah. And I've never ran a marathon. I've watched. But you know that people who are running a marathon, they need support. They have to get water, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a long haul. But they know where their end point is. And if you don't know where your end point is, you're never going to arrive. Right, so biggest lesson, marathon. You're not gonna, 4 years, you're just getting started. 8 years, yeah, you have a better understanding of where you're going. You have something more to give back. I think people just don't, and I didn't, fully realize how steep the learning curve was. It was steep. And you had to, either you're all in or you're just doing really superficial work, and our community needs deep work. And I think people care about our community enough to do that. And I'm serving alongside some pretty amazing public servants mm-hmm. who are doing that work. So that biggest lesson, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Accomplishments, I would say strategic planning has been a game changer for us. So prior to serving in that mayoral role, and again, I learned this from my work at those state level boards, because they regularly did strategic planning. And we're in our second strategic plan now, multi-year strategic plan. These aren't one-year work plans. We have that overarching comprehensive plan that's like that 20-year vision. Really, the council needs more than a one-year work plan to be able to make true change happen. Housing initiatives, projects, they're multi-year efforts. Take multi-funding packages. Economic development is another one. Multi-year efforts. And so if you don't know where you're going and what your metrics are to show that you've actually achieved where you were going, you're probably not going to get there. You'll be all over the place. And Northfield, because we are home to so many really amazing, passionate, intelligent leaders, they all have very different ideas and could all be right. Mm-hmm. You could be heading off in a different direction every week.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work. When you're right. rowing the ship, you got to stay together and you got to stay in sync with those oars in order to get where you need to go. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm most proud of that, the strategic plans, the councils, boards and commissions, staff, and community organizations have really helped us move the needle on our priorities. And I think it's been really important mm-hmm. and instrumental for our community. And hopefully it's just the start of like multitude of other city councils that will carry on that way of operating to get the work of the city done, which is really important.
Right. So then looking back over 16 years, what would you have done differently?
Oh, goodness. You got to go slow to go fast. And so I think sometimes we try to move too fast and then the whole thing falls apart. We didn't have everybody on board, or people were expressing concern and it wasn't heated.
Right.
And it broke up the community and people picked sides. You got to go slow to go fast. And there's been probably quite a few opportunities where you're like, you look back and you're like, oh, we probably should have taken a little bit more time and done that differently. But honestly, I mean, who gets into these city council roles thinking that, oh, this is my 16-year gig. This is a way to give back to your community. I don't think anybody ever gets into it thinking, oh, I'm just going to serve. Well, they probably do. One term.
Yeah.
Well, and you don't get to decide that, really.
Right.
It's the people that decide that. But Northfield hasn't, over the past, had a lot of consecutive leadership, consistent, steady leadership. We haven't really had that. And it can be really beneficial.
Okay, so you've started to answer this question, but I'm gonna put it very plainly.
Yeah.
Why do you want a third term?
Uh-huh.
And what's your vision for that next term?
Yeah. So you know that strategic plan?
Mm-hmm.
There's still so much to do. When I first got on the council, economic development wasn't functioning. We weren't making the progress that we needed to make. 16 years in, because of a lot of change or because we had so many other things that needed to be done, it's still not quite humming, if I can say that. It's just not quite humming along where I really want it to be. And we know that we've got less commercial and industrial tax base, mm-hmm. right, than most cities our size or comparable cities. And it's really an area that I would like to see moving along better. And how we do that, I know now. This is one of those where things just sort of fell apart early on when I was on the city council in my first 4 years. I now know that it's really important how we do economic development, and I'm really excited to keep working on that. The council's put together, you know, the, like I said, two strategic plans now with our priority areas, and economic vitality is what we're calling it now, has been one of those top priorities for the last, I don't know, six, seven, 8 years now. And we have consistent staff, been there long enough that they're making headway. And there's some really strong, skilled leadership on the council as a whole and on our boards and commissions. There's so much potential right now to move that initiative forward. And last thing I would just say, you know, and this is in our vision statement, right? Back in 2017, we have one of the best small towns in the country. We're home to two world-class colleges. We have a historic riverfront downtown here that we want to make sure stays vibrant and healthy. We have a vibrant culture. We have celebrated arts, strong economy, which I would like to improve, right? Great public school system. A lot of people move here because of our public school system. And we have an excellent quality of life, and I don't want to mess that up. I want to improve it. And there are clearly some areas in our strategic plan that we want to see movement on. And I know that steady, consistent, proven track record of civility and working alongside people will get that done. And that's why I'm still here. That's why I'm still seeking that third term. because I know how important that consistent, steady leadership is for our community. And there's things that when I first got started, we're not done yet. There's just a lot of work to do. And I'm really pleased to be working alongside some really great people. Boards and commissions, the council, and our staff are really doing a really great job. That doesn't mean we're perfect and we don't make mistakes. Let's just be clear about that. So,
all right. Yeah. Now, I want to drill down on the commercial industrial thing for a minute.
Yeah.
Because that, for as long as I've been paying attention to city politics, that has been something that has been talked about.
Yes.
Not a lot has happened.
Yeah.
So, I know how much you love a plan, Rhonda.
Yes.
What is your plan to grow the commercial industrial tax base in Northfield?
In Northfield, yep. So I want to, the vision that I now know and understand where we have buy-in from the community is to grow, support and grow our existing businesses first, expand the tax base through infill and redevelopment first, and then at the edges of the community in a dense, contiguous manner that strengthens our small town sense of place, right, and high quality of life. We can do that, then we'll move the needle on our commercial and industrial tax base, but we have to keep that value right at the center. Tourism expansion, I've seen this over the years as a mother of five children who's traveled to like multitude of different cities all around to follow my kids and cheer them on and whatever sport they were involved in. Sports tourism. It's a missing link. It's a missing part of our puzzle that we could be capitalizing on more. So I would like to expand the number of arts and culture events, coordinate and increase sports tournaments, and we have a lot of associations that are led by volunteers, right? So we need to take more of a lead in that to help ensure that they know and understand how important tournaments are to our tourism part of our economy. And then we need to activate our river, making it possible for people to kayak and canoe our river. And I think that could be really strategic. Strengthening our economic vitality of our downtown by expanding the river rock and creatively developing the backsides of buildings that front the river, turning them into attractive places where people want to be. That's been in our comp plan. It's been talked about. If you don't have steady, consistent leadership on the council, on your staff, if you're constantly changing gears, you'll never accomplish that. You have to have built relationships within the city, at the state level, at the federal level, to be able to accomplish some of this. Really important. And we recently completed an alternative urban area review, AUAR, for the land that's adjacent to the hospital. And that is really important because it front loads that environmental review and reduces some of the uncertainty in the in the development process for prospective developers. And so we know that light manufacturing, research and development, agribusiness, and data centers are really likely to be interested in this area. And data centers are a pretty hot topic right now. Minnesota is really working hard to attract data centers, and they're locating in our area, Chaska, Rosemount. I mean, there are different examples out there. It's real, and we need to position ourselves as a city, have a consistent, steady message that we're telling businesses that maybe want to locate here, and get it done. You got to recruit. You got to share your message. You got to help existing businesses grow here, and you got to be committed. In Northfield, you must be committed to that infill and redevelopment within the existing area, not just on the outskirts of town. And infill and redevelopment is pretty hard.
Why is that so important, infill and redevelopment?
Yeah, so dense contiguous development is least expensive because you're utilizing existing infrastructure. So like the roadway out here, it's already in the ground, right? You already have sewer and water. So if you put another building down here, like the Crossings or Village on the Cannon or Merchants Bank Building, your property tax value of the land that you're sitting on right now would go way up. So we know that commercial on one level and then multi-story up yields the biggest financial return on the investment of the road, sewer, and water than if you just expand on the outskirts of town where you have to put in new infrastructure. You have to be able to recoup that cost, or you have to have a greater return on the property taxes to be able to recoup that dense contiguous development. That smart growth matters. You got to do all of it, though, because quite frankly, a data center might not fit in our downtown.
Probably not.
Yeah.
One of the common themes from the other seven mayoral candidates at a recent forum is that the Northfield city government is not responsive to the citizens of Northfield. The rhetoric is that City Hall does not listen to the voice and will of the people and follows its own agenda. A couple of examples. First, the protected bike paths that are going to be constructed in a couple areas of town, and taxation, years of double-digit tax levies. How do you respond generally to this criticism from the seven candidates running against you that the city does not listen to citizens? And then what are your perspectives on the controversial protected bike paths project and double-digit taxation?
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? We are hearing about that and have heard about it in the candidate forum that we just recently had. I would say from a listening perspective, right, that the city council is not listening. We adopt plans where we go out and get public feedback on those, right? And then we implement them. That's something new that the city's never done. Our plans have traditionally just... We seek public engagement, feedback, and we put the plans together. We adopt them, and then they sit on the shelf, and they collect dust. Well, we've been implementing, and that's new. It's change, and I think that's made some people feel a little uneasy. The other part that I would say is this is a democracy. So we're elected to represent the people, and for me, that means that we take the time necessary to study the issues, that we learn about best practices, which sometimes are evolving. We know what our city guiding plans say. We listen to the different perspectives in the community, and those perspectives are shared with us via email, phone calls, on the street, in the grocery store, as well as in the council chambers. We read the background material that staff provide. We ask for advisory opinions from our city boards and commissions. And then we have to work together with one another to figure out a pathway forward. And so it might seem to people on the surface that we're not listening. Listening is part of the process. It happens in the council chambers. But you can't negate all of the input that went into the adopted plans that you're now being responsible for completing. I mean, that's why ask people's feedback and input on a plan that you would never have any intention on completing. And so there is a balance to all of this. And we're working on trying to do it better. The council's made some changes on designs on bike paths, so let's just go there. So I really believe in improving our pedestrian and biking infrastructure, because it's making our community safe for all ages and abilities and socioeconomic statuses so that people can move about our community safely. The most recent bike plan that was done was during COVID, and it was on the heels of where we had some accidents within the community. Right, and multiple. And so we knew that we needed to make some changes to make our roadway safer, to make it easier for people to get about our community on bikes, regardless of their age or ability. And so, yes, yeah, so there's a bike plan, and it is a priority of the city council, I would say, to improve the pedestrian and biking infrastructure where there are gaps. Gaps in our sidewalks, gaps in the trails. Oftentimes you'll get to the end of a trail or end of a sidewalk and there's like you don't know where to go, right? And so we want to ensure there's a complete, connected, and consistent network. That's from my council colleague, Councillor Holmes. Complete, connected, and consistent network. So we really want to do small, incremental changes or improvements. That's preferred, but we've also found that when we do those small incremental improvements, people don't see the full picture, and so it doesn't make sense. So we've got to do a better job of communicating. And this is one where I wish we would have had more communication out there. Hindsight is always 20/20. Okay, people didn't have the understanding of what we were doing. We need to do a better job of communicating. I've been really surprised that there are a lot of people that didn't know anything about Middletown's Trail. And that's been 30 years in the making. And we received like $8 million to be able to put in that that connection from Riverside all the way out to the Waterford Bridge. And that was in collaboration, getting those dollars with Waterford. Really important. Of the 156 lane miles, only 7% have been identified to improve the safety of our community. So bike plan or bike paths that will connect in with the Milltown's state trail. We wanted to ensure that people could get not only to their schools, all ages, be able to get to their school, their local school where they go, elementary, middle school, high school. But we also wanted to ensure that people throughout the community, if they wanted to jump on that Middletown State Trail, that there was a pathway that they could utilize to get there. We have also been looking at, because it's a state-level trail that will eventually connect from, Red Wing all the way to Mankato, like 80 miles worth of a continuous trail. We're almost there. We are almost there, and people are working really hard on it, that there we have identified spurs that will come off that Milltown's Trail that will lead right into our downtown or to the swimming pool or to a major park like Spring Creek Soccer Park, right, or Everybody's Park. Everybody's Park is the only park that is accessible to people that maybe are, if you're a grandma, right, and you've got your walker and you want to go watch your kids play, or if you're a family and one of your kiddos is wheelchair bound, you have the ability as a family, as a mom or dad, to like bring your whole family to that park. It's the only one that we have, and it's amazing, and all kids really love it. So I think we need to do a better job of communicating about the bike paths and improve the gaps there. Taxes. You see what I mean? Like, you ask, like, I don't know, major questions all in one sitting here. So I think we need to do, we now, I would say, have a better understanding of the multiple decades of disinvestment that we've seen. And I didn't have a good understanding of that when I got on the council, and in fact just sat next door as Jeff Johnson interviewed all of us that were running for council back in 08. Okay, so you have the ice arena, you have a public safety center, you have city hall, you have the library, they all need improvements. You have the liquor store. And the question was, which one of those are you going to do first? Well, of course, public safety. It took us a while to get that done. And ultimately got the police facility done. Fire is now done. We have updated the library. We've updated City Hall. We've made improvements to our wastewater treatment plant. Our streets, when I first got started, they there was a significant number of them that were either in poor or failing condition. That matters. Everybody uses our streets. Stormwater, we now know how important stormwater is, as we've now had, what, 500 or 600 year floods. You got to right size that stormwater infrastructure to ensure that homes or apartment buildings don't get flooded, like North and South Oaks. In our downtown here, we have to figure that out. That stuff costs money, like multiple millions of dollars. And I think people just don't understand how much everything costs. And just like everyone else, when you go to the grocery store, prices are going up. Prices are going up for city infrastructure and things too. And we need to ensure that we're not pricing people out of our community. We've clearly heard that. I've heard it. And we need to find a sustainable way to still get the work done, the strategic work that really has to get done, while we also expand the tax base to help decrease some of that property tax burden on residential homeowners. And we also need to aggressively pursue grants and bonding dollars, which hasn't always happened in our community. And that's one of the things that I think has been really helpful. Milltown's Trail wouldn't have gotten done without it. The Transit Hub is another one where we got like $1.7 million bonding dollars to help make that happen. So some of this has been really helpful. This is a marathon. It's a long game. And I think the council, we've seen them even push out different projects like Bridge Square, maybe say 2026 or 2027. Let's see if we can get some bonding dollars to get that accomplished, or let's just ensure that the tax levy is at a more manageable level. I would say there's nobody on council that like runs and says, yeah, I'm running on raising the tax levy, like on double digits year over year. No one does that. It's really hard. But it's one of the hardest things that you're asked to do. Are you going to fund your city or are you not? And finding that right balance of it is really important. And it becomes even harder once you know what all of the work is that needs to happen and how much it actually costs. It's expensive. That's what I would say.
Last week, the Northfield City Council approved a partnership with the City of Dundas, the Northfield School District, and the Northfield Hockey Association that will build a new ice arena in Northfield. You were one of the 6 votes on the council to approve the partnership. Could you give us perspective on this project?
Yeah. So this has been in the making for multiple years, 20 years. They've tried to fix or find a solution to this. It's been to the voters at least twice now. The last time it was packaged together with a local option sales tax, and that just didn't quite get to 50% of people voting in favor of it. And we know, and the school district and Dundas and our hockey association were committed to finding a solution. And if you don't find a solution, you're just kicking the, that's another one. It's just how many times are you going to kick the can down the road? Councillor Holmes said that too. You have to find a solution. And again, this one was a really hard one. Because we've had double-digit tax levy increases, and now we're looking at spending an additional 20-plus million to build a new ice arena. And if we don't do it, then we're just passing the buck on to somebody else. And there's a lot of important work that needs to get done. We need to find a solution, and this is the best one that we've been given thus far. This partnership and the funding mechanism, this is the first time that we've collaborated with Dundas in this way. And I'm just really appreciative. Mayor Schweitzer was there couple different meetings. He's been right there along the way, and their council has been supporting this. The school district also, and the hockey association. So we know that if we were to just remodel the existing facility, the tax impact would be pretty much the same. So it just doesn't make sense. And there's a compelling reuse and a buyer that wants to reuse that facility to maybe have some more indoor recreation space. Skateboarding, maybe, you know, an indoor, I don't know, biking facility. I mean, you just never know, but I think the hearts for the reuse of that facility are in the right place, and that's compelling to me. Mm-hmm. An annual $1.5 million in economic impact. We heard from one of our business owners that shared with us that there's not a lot going on in the winter months when they would be hosting tournaments and putting heads in beds. Our hotels are our businesses here. We need them all year. And the $1.5 million economic impact is important to me. And shopping in our stores, there's a lot of downtime during tournaments. Mm-hmm. People are getting a bite to eat. They're going to Flaherty's to go bowling. There's things that people are doing here. They're shopping in our stores, and that's important to me. It's also the worst facility in the state. The worst facility in the state. And that's not something I'm proud of. And we have teams that won't even come here to play. We have grandparents that can't get into that facility to watch their kids. We have questionable locker rooms where there's just not enough room to even have a team meeting. You've got skates. You've got people dressed in their hockey gear having to share bathrooms with the general public. Have you ever, like, walked alongside somebody that's wearing skates that's already 6 feet tall and now is that much taller than you? And you're all, like, you trying to fit into this really small space just to use the restroom. It doesn't work. It's not working, and we can do better as a community. This is the best solution we've got, and just one step at a time. We need to do the due diligence on putting the different agreements in place for that. We approved the architect contract. So again, just one step at a time. It took quite a bit to come up with this solution. We just need to keep working to see if we can bring it through to completion. And I think it's important for our community.
As you're talking to the architect, maybe put in a good word for a good press box.
Yeah, right.
Speaking for my people.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mayor Pownell, we want to give you the last word on this. What have we not talked about? What did we not touch on that you want people to know about you and your vision for the city?
Yeah. I would say that I really care deeply about my community. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I care deeply about my community, and I believe in public service. I've been a part of the council since 2008, so 16 years in. I've served on state boards, and in that time, I've learned what works and what doesn't. Trial and error, and I'm still here. I'm committed. Northfield is really a beautiful city, chock full of all of that amazing talent and tremendous potential that if you can harness it and get it focused, you will accomplish the vision for our city. And it's my hope that bringing people together in a spirit of collaboration and championing a relentless positive attitude and optimism, an appreciation for people, and an aggressive celebration of our accomplishments, that it will help transform our community and leave it in better condition for future generations. Optimism is not one of our strengths. Being thankful, not one of our strengths. Critiquing one another, yeah, not good. And that's why you see me really hitting hard on this, is because our community needs it. Civility was at the core of my mayoral platform in 2016, and we've made significant progress in this area. strategic planning, and the ability to work with people all across different policy perspectives have been hallmarks of my time as mayor. Northfield needs strong, consistent leadership with a proven track record of leading with civility to find common ground and move us forward. That's why I'm here. That's my commitment. And I love this community. I'm here for the long haul. And just ask people to, if you got questions, give me a call. And I look forward to talking with people. Thanks.
This has been the first in what will be a busy election season agenda programming on KYMN Radio this fall. We're going to end our show here. It has been our pleasure to have Mayor Rhonda Pownell with us. Thank you, Mayor, for being a part of our program today.
Yeah, I want to echo that. Thank you. We really do appreciate you being here. These are not always the easiest conversations, and we really, really do appreciate it. Election Day 2024 is Tuesday, November 5th. Tune in for local election coverage here on KYMN as we welcome candidates into our studios every week. In fact, a couple of times a week. We're going to discuss their backgrounds and the values and their experience and their objectives should they win.
Our goal for the Election Coverage 24 programming is meaningful, in-depth conversations with political candidates as we all try to make the best informed voting decisions later this fall.
I'm Rich Larson. My co-host is the great Joe Moravchik. We are on KYMN Radio, AM 1080 and FM 95.1 in Northfield. Please join us again on Wednesday when we talk with Northfield mayoral candidate Erica Zweifel. For Joe, and again, thank you, Mayor Pownell. Everyone, please have a very enjoyable day. Thank you for listening.